I was so content because I finally knew that I wasn't being hunted anymore. And it was the next day that she found out about her own family and how all of them had been slaughtered as well. When you're inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all of your thoughts break their bonds. That's a reward. Your mind transcends limitations. There are no more limits. That's a reward. And your consciousness expands in every direction. That means that whatever it is that is coming towards you, whatever messages, whatever impulses that you have to behave in a certain way, whatever it is that seems to be, nobody else seems to understand, but you feel you have to do it. You listen to that because Spirit is speaking to you. It's the language of Spirit. And then you discover yourself to be in a new and a great and a wonderful world. You absolutely shift out of the world that you were in and into a world that is uniquely your own. It is a world that you can't explain to anybody else. When I finished writing Inspiration, it was April the 23rd. I knew there was going to be 18 chapters, because 18 was the number to me that symbolizes one infinite source. I knew chapter 18 was going to be written on my birthday, which is the 10th of May, and I knew what the last chapter would be. I was going to just write my own personal account of what it's like to live an inspired life. So that would write itself. I would just think about it for the next couple of weeks, and then I would sit down at 3:13 in the morning and just let it come out, which is exactly what happened. But on the 23rd of April, I finished chapter 17, and the 17th chapter was called The Language of Spirit. I'll be speaking about it a little bit later in this program. And in this chapter, I had written about a friend of mine. His name was Jack Boland. And Jack was a minister, a Unity minister in Detroit. He was the first person that contacted me after I wrote Your Erroneous Owns back in 1976. And he asked me if he could do a series of tapes based upon Your Erroneous Owns. And I said yes. I didn't know who he was. He was teaching Unity classes at a high school and conducting his service at Regina High School on the east side of Detroit. I said, yep, you have my permission, no problem, do whatever you want with him. And he did, he put him out there, and I got to know Jack after that. He became very, very close to me. He built a church in Warren, Michigan, which is now called Renaissance Unity, I believe, and he became like a brother to me. I spoke at his church every year, a couple of times each year, and we got to know each other very, very well. So a man that I loved very much. He also had cancer throughout his body, and he passed away about 12 years ago. But when I heard that he was sick, I called and I asked him if he would come with me out to Massachusetts to Deepak Chopra's Ayurvedic Center there and see what we could do about doing some work and helping him to overcome this cancer, which was pretty far gone in his back and in his leg and so on. And we went out there to Massachusetts together. And while we were out there, we spent a week together, just the two of us in a room together and talking every day. One evening at dinner, he started talking to me about monarch butterflies. And he loved monarch butterflies. He just thought they were the greatest creatures in the world. And he told me a story about monarch butterflies. He said, Wayne, you have to understand that these are creatures that don't have a brain. Their brain is the size of a pinprick. So if you take a pin and prick them, that's how big their brain is. And they come out of this chrysalis, and they're made out of tissue paper, like toilet paper. You know, they're so thin. So they're toilet paper with no brain. And they come out of a cocoon on a branch in a tree in Brazil. and they're ready to fly as they come out. And they take off, and they spend the spring there in Brazil, and they get up into the stream, and they go to Nova Scotia. This is a pinprick with toilet paper, okay? That's all it is, with no brain. And they go all the way to Nova Scotia. That's over 4,000 miles. And they spend the summer there in Nova Scotia. And then the winter comes along, or it's heading its way, fall comes, and they head back, and they go back to Brazil. And they go back to the same tree, to the same branch that they came out of a cocoon on, and they lay their eggs or do whatever they do, and they start the whole process over again on the same branch, and they don't even have a brain. Now, I leave my cell phone in one room of my house, and I walk out, and I forgot where I put it. And my brain is big, supposedly. And I can't even find my cell phone. These little creatures with no brain can find the same branch 4,000 miles away and come back and start the whole process over again. And he would talk about what a miracle this is and talking about the language of spirit and so on. So I wrote about this in the book Inspiration. And I told this whole story about, and especially about how Jack was so inspired by these little tiny creatures. I never quite looked at them the same. And while we were there in Massachusetts that spring, I found a monarch butterfly, a dead monarch butterfly. And I had it mounted and I had it put into, like made into a paperweight. And I gave it to Jack as a gift so that he would always have a monarch to look at. And after he passed away, his wife Karen sent it back to me with a wonderful letter saying how much Jack really appreciated that and how much he loved that week we spent together up there in Massachusetts at Deepak's place and so on. Remember, this is the fourth reward now for living an inspired life. You find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world. So I finished writing about the monarch butterfly and Jack. It's all in the book. And I called my editor, Joanna. She's been my editor for 25 years or so. And I write everything by hand, so she's the only one who can read it because I write fast. And I have all kinds of my own little abbreviations and so on. And whenever I finish writing a chapter, I always call her and I read it to her to just see how it sounds, if it sounds right. Because it's just coming out so fast for me, it's furiously. Sometimes I forget to even number the pages. It comes out so fast. I'm just in awe of watching this whole process unfold. So I read it to her, and then I called my publisher at Hay House, Reed Tracy, and I read that chapter to him, too. I said, this is the last chapter before I finish 18. I said, and there's something exciting about starting a project, looking at knowing that it's already finished, but still allowing it to flow through you. And then you finish and you complete it. And it's like you can sort of take a deep breath and you know you're on to another phase in your life. And I was just at such great peace. And it all sounded fine on the telephone as I read it to them. And I went for a walk. I was on Maui at my home on Kaanapali Beach. And I went out to the ocean and I went for a walk. It was 12:30 in the afternoon or so. And I was just very much at peace. I do like a power walk, and I got all the way down to this place that's called Black Rock, and I was standing on the grounds of this hotel there, the Sheraton Hotel, and it's all grassy there, and I walk on that frequently, and just standing there and contemplating what I was going to do next and how happy I was to have this done, and I was going to get the manuscript copied and sent off to have it edited and so on. And I look down at my feet, and a monarch butterfly flies, and it lands 3 feet away from me and sits right down on the grass in front of me. And I just had one of those moments where I said, that's a little strange, isn't it? I've never seen monarchs in that particular place. I go there every day.